Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
You need to help. I'm 35. I have no idea. Redbubble, what is that?
It's like a poster and like tapestry website.
And James Strebel.
I got this one poster favorite. It's Tiger Woods mugshot. And I don't know if I can say this word. And it says damn above it.
He's delivering, Jack. He's delivering.
He's back.
He didn't know if he could say damn.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Oh, the text line. 437-9680. It's The Take on this Thursday. Bosich going to join us in about an hour. Rick Bosich from WDRB. Oh, man, I forgot. In fact, Nick, we may need to find this. I see all the TVs got shut off. What happened? Did Dennis get mad? What's going on here? Because we do have some day baseball, baby.
Oh.
We got day baseball. I think the White Sox start like literally right now.
407.
407. Yep. There you go.
FS1.
Give me the White Sox over the Astros. Let's go.
Oh, Bosa's going to be so distracted.
I mean, that's going to be, what, third inning or whatever?
Six divisions.
Swung on! This ball!
Six pennant races.
Get that out of here. Sends a chill down my spine.
Me too.
You never heard Bob do a 6
I haven't.
10.
I don't know.
He's only done it for a decade. Yeah. I mean, he's never heard it one time.
I haven't.
Bob,
thanks for listening, dude.
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry.
And he does it during the summer, which checkmates you the most.
It does. I'm not doing anything.
That's what it really does. Yeah. So anyway, we have Red Sox Rays over on 93.9 tonight, right here on 680, 105.7 Rams and Seahawks. We got you covered there on Saturday. Lou City hosting Sporting KC2, 7:15, right here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Soccer City coming up tonight. Is Greer back? Does anyone have any ideas? Our boy Joffrey back?
I believe he is.
Okay.
You'll love this, by the way, real fast.
Okay, yeah.
He texts me. He goes, hey, man, would you mind helping Entz cut some sound for racing if I send you the press conference? And I didn't want to be that guy.
No, you should be that guy.
But I was like,
and should do that.
Yeah. I am doing three shows today.
No,
I was like,
no,
there is no effing way I can cut that. I'm so sorry.
That's an Ents thing. He's the producer.
Yep, he can do that.
He can do that. Yep. Look at Strebel laying the law down. Look at when it comes to Ents, he doesn't mind laying the law down. I mean, you really don't. Yeah, you can do it.
He can do it.
Look at Greer. Just
cut sound. Cut sound for racing.
Cut sound for racing.
Let's go.
Do it now.
I need it.
Or else. Let's go. Okay. Louisville, Kentucky, Indiana. We called the blitz. We do it every Thursday at 4 o'clock. Let's go. All right. We start with Ty Spalding, who has realized what it's like to be on the program, to get bashed by Louisville fans. And so that's been fun. Maybe lower the music just a bit. Yeah, we'll get to the NBA players scam here in a second. So Ty Spalding joins us. U of L rivals. Ty, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I'm doing a little better now that my mentions have slowed down.
Good.
Twitter terrorists.
Nice.
So, doing a little better than I was yesterday.
Well, I catch people up. On your message board, you put out there what you had been hearing behind the scenes of Chris Mack, how long he potentially could be the coach at U of L. So what's up, I guess? That we would start with that. And I know you had a conversation, maybe a short conversation at least, with Vince Tyre. So where are we with the last 48 hours or so?
Yeah, so I'll just give a quick rundown here. So over the course of the last week or so, you started to hear the rumblings regarding Chris Mack. On Monday of this week, I got a couple of texts in the morning about it. Talked to a few people throughout the day, got some more information, and that's when it really picked up steam, and my stance was I really wasn't going to post anything about it, but a subscriber started a thread, brought it up, and asked about it. So, you know, as the publisher of the website, I felt it was my job to comment on what I had been hearing. And I passed along, you know, the information that I had received. And that's what, you know, that's what message boards are for. They're for talking about rumors. That's why people are on them. And then it went public almost instantly when someone screenshotted my post and tweeted it out.
You had to know that was gonna happen, right? I mean, especially with something like that. And I guess maybe tell the listeners, we talked about it yesterday. I know Drew and other shows talked about it, kind of the Cliff Notes version of what you've been hearing.
Yeah, so I never reported that Mac will be fired, that it was official. I simply said the word going around was that Mac may not be the coach at the end of the year. And there's definitely some tension. And I think it's not just between Neely and Mac, but I think Vince as well. I know I talked to a couple people at ESPN Louisville, including Ethan Moore, who confirmed pretty much everything I said on Louisville Sports Live last night. And then multiple insiders on my side and Jody's as well, from what I've been told, you know, kind of confirmed what I said, that, you know, there's a growing rumor out there that Chris Mack, you know, may not be the coach at the end of the year. And then Vince Tyra did reach out to me on his own and kind of cleared the air that, you know, even though there's some issues going with the level two violations, that they're going to work through that, and they're committed to Chris Mack in the long term. But I'll end with this. I think the bottom line is that things aren't great behind the scenes, and it may very well get ironed out. But as of now, there's definitely some tension going on, and there's something amiss that I really think is hard to turn an eye to.
Does some of that, I mean, is there anything? Chris Mack wasn't at Louisville Live. Is that something? That's something we haven't even talked about on the show. Is that part of this, do you think?
Yeah. So you said Chris Mack not being at Louisville Live. I'm assuming Vince.
Oh, I'm sorry, Vince Tyra. Right. No, my apologies.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, are saying that it's more of like Neely versus Chris, but from what I've heard, it's, you know, Vince and Chris are not on great terms. And the fact that Vince wasn't at Louisville Live, I think that, you know, kind of got swept under the rug. I think, you know, some people noticed it. And I think there's something to that deeper down. You don't, if you're the AD, you don't, you know, that's an event, that's a once a year event that, you know, 20,000 of your fans are going to be at. I'm sure that's something that the athletic director would want to be at, maybe want to speak at, talk to fans. So I do think there's something to Vince Tyra not being at Louisville Live.
Do you think noise like this is going to continue all year, or we get into games and, you know, we don't care as much, right? Does that make sense? Like the South Carolina stuff with Satterfield has, you know, moved away, if you will. Do you think if they get into the season and if they're winning, all this is just going to, dissipate? Because I have no idea here.
Yeah, I think when the season gets going, this type of talk will cool down. But, you know, depending on the season Louisville has, I would expect these talks to ramp back up, you know, in the spring when the season's over and when the expected decision from the NCAA and IARP comes down. I would expect those talks to pick back up then.
All right, so Ty Spaulding with us. Is there anything else I need to ask you? I know that's very lazy about any of the Mac stuff, because I do want to move on to the actual football field and what's going on there, and that is a close loss to Wake Forest. Doesn't seem to be much anger, but I have said repeatedly Louisville needs to get that momentum back, and they need to do that with a win over Virginia. What did you make of the Wake game, and what do you make of the lead-up up to this game on Saturday, which I think is a massive game for this Louisville team?
So when it happened live against Wake Forest, I said, mark this play, mark this moment. This is when the game changed. And it was when Louisville was up 7. They were putting together a nice drive, and it was 3rd and 2, and they bring Evan Conley in, and they throw a low percentage out pass that never had a chance of working, and then they punted it away. Mm-hmm. In my mind, even if Evan Conley has to stay in there for one snap, you run the ball twice and see if you can pick up 2 yards in 2 plays. You had the chance to take the kill shot to Wake Forest. You go up 14. You had the chance to go up 14, You get, if I'm mistaken, did Louisville get the ball at half? I believe they did.
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember. Plus, too much bourbon this week, so you know.
But the main point being, I think that play really just changed everything. I think Louisville got conservative, and I would have liked to see Louisville go for that third and two with a run, and then if you don't get it, say you pick up 1 yard, it's fourth and one, you still have a good chance to pick that up. Instead, they punted it back to Wake Forest, and everything momentum-wise shifted from that point on. And I'm with you. I think these next two games at home are almost must wins. Louisville's favored this weekend, and I would expect, you know, Louisville to be a slight favorite or maybe a 50-50 pick'em game next weekend. But I think these next two home games are must wins for Louisville.
Are you surprised the defense is where it is, 107th in total yards, 110th against the pass, sub 100 in total defense? That was going to be the strength, and it doesn't, you know, it reminds me of Kentucky. Kentucky was going to have a strength of being able to throw the ball, and they're going to have to win games like Kentucky wins games. I think, you know, Satterfield and company are back to having to win games up in the 30s.
Yeah, and you'll hear Brian Brown say this, and he said it on multiple occasions. He's very much the bend, don't break. And he's even said, you know, we don't really care about how many yards we give up. It's,
right.
It's how many points go up on the scoreboard. And when you have that mentality, you know, you have the tendency to only rush three, to drop seven or eight in coverage, and you're going to give up yards when you play like that. So I would definitely say Louisville's defense has been a disappointment. But when you consider Brian Brown's philosophy on that side of the ball, you know, he's okay with giving up yards, and he's, you know, he's open about that. So I think there's something to say about the yards. I think statistically, you know, if they give up a bunch of yards, but they, you know, they limit the points on the scoreboard, they're going to be okay with the performance. But overall, it's just the lack of a pass rush has just reared its ugly head time and time again. The only rushing three against Wake Forest, if you give a quarterback 10 seconds back there, receiver's going to get open. So they've got to find someone on the defensive line that can beat someone in a one-on-one matchup. Or if they can't, they need to blitz one or two guys on third and long, in my opinion.
Last one for Ty Spaulding. Do you think they win on Saturday?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, I think, like you said earlier, I think the all things considered, fans were upbeat about the performance against Wake. And I think, you know, even with the loss, I think the locker room is probably still in a positive mindset. I think that carries into Saturday. I think Louisville wins. I think they win the next two. I think they beat Virginia and they beat Boston College. And from there, the past eight wins is you've got to beat either Clemson, NC State, or Kentucky. You got to get one of those three, take care of the cupcakes in Syracuse and Duke, and see where the chips fall from there.
Ty Spaulding with the UofL rival site, CardinalSports.com. Ty, always appreciate the time. Take care.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Kentucky.
All right, we move down the road to Lexington, Kentucky. John Hale of the Courier-Journal, at @John_Hale_CJ, if you want to follow him there. John, good afternoon, sir.
How are you guys?
Oh, we're making it. We're matriculating through the week, okay? Like Kentucky's offense on Saturday, we're matriculating slowly through the week on this Thursday. Besides the crowd on Saturday against Florida, what stood out for you as someone who's followed the program for quite a while?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes down to that last seven plays. I mean, I do think the crowd was at a level that we've rarely seen there. It's up there with the four or five best crowds that I can remember in the last 15 years of being around the program a lot. But there have been loud crowds against Florida before, and they've blown those games at the end. And so when Florida is marching down the field on that last drive, knowing that the last two times they were in Lexington, Kentucky blew double-digit leads in the fourth quarter and lost, I think a lot of the people in that stadium, maybe most of them, were thinking, okay, here we go again. How's it going to happen? How are they going to blow this? And to see the defense, you know, first and nine with 3 minutes left, or first and goal at the 9-yard line with 3 minutes left, step up seven plays in a row, even after they got the face mask to extend the drive and keep them out of the end zone, is just something I can't remember really ever happening with Kentucky football in my life. Certainly, even when they've won big games, a lot of the times it's been an offensive, you know, kind of shootout or an outburst
right.
of some kind. JoJo Kemp going in the Wildcat over and over again. This was just a defensive performance to beat a top 10 team in the country when your offense, you know, frankly, played pretty badly is something that I don't know that I would have expected.
A JoJo Kemp out of the Wildcat. John, I did not expect to hear that at 4:15 on a Thursday. There we go. JoJo Kemp out of the Wildcat. It makes me shudder. Of course, it also made Kentucky fans shudder when they went Wildcat on Saturday night, John.
Yeah, they hate the Wildcat. They do forget that JoJo Kemp game pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it certainly has not worked very well since then.
Well, they also had Lynn Bowden, which they love, who's essentially doing the Wildcat. I don't know what to tell you guys.
Right.
If he would have got 2.5 yards, it would have been okay, and you wouldn't have been bagging on Liam Cohen and Eddie Grand. That's how it would have been. How much of a storyline is a letdown for this game against LSU? Like, it can't be a trap game because we've all talked about it being a trap game and don't let down. So I would imagine that's on everyone's radar, but that also is a storyline. I just don't know how much of a storyline.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's still the number one
factor
I'm looking at this week. I mean, because obviously, I mean, I think that LSU's got a lot of talent, but they have not played to a level to where if Kentucky's legitimately the number 14 team in the country, they should win at home against that team, especially knowing that, you know, two of their defensive backs, including a guy who might be a top five pick in the NFL draft next spring, are not going to be available. That everything points towards Kentucky. It's just so often, and you know, I'll admit it's not fair that we keep holding historic Kentucky standards against the program now and the team, but we know that even in 2018 when they were so good and had the best season in 40 years, they went to Tennessee that year and laid a complete egg against a bad Tennessee team and lost a game they shouldn't have lost. So, like, when does Kentucky move past doing that? Even good teams, like really good teams that don't have this historic albatross, have off performances. Was the Chattanooga game Kentucky's off performance of the year and that woke them up, or is that, you know, an issue where it's just hard to get up and bring that same energy week after week after week against teams the quality they're going to play in the SEC? I don't know. I think that's the number one factor in terms of, I mean, they could still play average this week and lose because that's just, you know, the level of competition they're facing at this point in the season. So how that looks, especially on the offensive side of the ball, are they going to press? Are they going to get into their heads about how poorly it's gone in that facet of the game the last couple of weeks? I just don't think you can count on your defense to continue to play the way it has the last two games every single week. And so I could see a scenario where they start putting a lot of pressure on themselves, and that becomes a factor Saturday.
Injuries. I want to get to the offense, but you mentioned defensive injuries, specifically McCall. I mean, let's throw Josh Ali, even though he's an offensive guy. The backups played well on Saturday. I mean, that has been well established. Anything that really worries you now going forward with injuries piling up a little bit for Kentucky?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's to the point, just we knew this three-game stretch, and, you know, even if you want to throw in Mississippi State and the bye week after that, was going to be the hardest part of the season, and how healthy were they going to be at the end of it? It's a concern. I mean, I do think, though, that McCall injury in particular maybe says as much about the progress that Mark Stoops has made as anything. I mean, just think, like, the Alabamas and Georgias of the world lose a bunch of guys to the draft every year. They have guys get injured, and they just plug in another four-star or five-star kid to replace him. Kentucky's never been able to do that until now. I mean, they lost Marquand McCall, who's maybe their best NFL draft prospect on defense, and they're going to replace him with the guy who's the highest-ranked recruit in the history of the program, and a guy who was a four-star player who had, you know, offers from basically every powerhouse school in the SEC. And so that's just not been something Kentucky's able to say a lot. Those guys are young. They're going to have mistakes. They're not Marquand McCall yet in this point in their careers. But to be able to plug that kind of talent in makes you feel pretty good. In terms of Josh Ali, though, on the offensive side, we already knew that they have real issues at receiver, and, you know, as teams are going to pay more and more attention to Wandell Robinson and try and force other guys to beat him, to take away really the only other receiver, wide receiver, has shown any sort of consistent production, that's a concerning factor for me. I mean, I think you've got to get your tight ends more involved. You've got to maybe throw it to the running backs a little bit more, because we just have not seen anything that suggests one of these receivers that have not done anything today is just suddenly going to break out.
Well, Liam Cohen a couple days ago, and John Hale with us. We'll get to Zach Osterman here in a second with IU and get our blitz going on this Thursday. It's the Take on ESPN 680. I mean, he was talking about it's going to be magical when everything clicks. I mean, is that going to happen this year? I mean, it feels like Kentucky's, you know, they're a little, I mean, you would think at least play action, some of the stuff Will Levis can do. Obviously, Wandell Robinson, there is more of a threat there, but it's not a huge threat, and it feels like defense, controlling the clock, little special teams, and C-Rod winning games and running the football. That's what we have expected with Mark Stoops, and it feels like we're kind of there again, and I just don't know what they're going to be able to accomplish. Like, they just can't throw the ball. They have Wandell, and that's it, John. I mean, that's all they have.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Ollie out, I just don't know where the other options are going to come from in the passing game. The one point of hope, I guess, is as much as we talk about teams giving Robinson more attention. I mean, Liam said the other day they've only had really one play all season where a team truly double teamed Wandell Robinson. It's just not something college teams are capable of doing a whole lot. So they should still be able to get him the ball. I think there is legitimate reason to hope that Will Levis will grow more comfortable in the offense, maybe get a little better in his reads and some of these things. We forget, I mean, he really was only on campus for a month before the season started. So that's still an adjustment that's going to come.
That's a good point.
Excited about a guy like Isaiah Cummings, who is still learning the tight end position. Maybe he becomes more and more of a factor as a receiver in the second half. But I just have a hard time imagining, I'm with you, that the best case scenario for this offense is still going to be a heavy, heavy dose of Chris Rodriguez and your other running backs. And then maybe the play action pass works off of that. You get some big plays out of it that they weren't capable of doing the last 4 or 5 years. But there's just not a scenario in my mind where I see them going out and throwing for 250 yards every week. It just doesn't seem like that's who they are with the personnel they have right now.
And you can see what they're trying to recruit. I mean, Stoops and Marrow and Liam Cohen all, you know, I mean, then you mentioned Wandell getting, you know, being the ultimate PR machine with his big NIL deal with Stockton Mortgage. I mean, this is what Kentucky's next step is to try to get the ear of playmakers. We can see that with the offense right now. Okay, last one. What do you make of the game? You don't have your prediction article up, so I don't know if you mind giving us. Well, how do you think it plays out? I don't know if LSU is desperate or a train wreck or both in this game on Saturday. How do you think it plays out there at Kroger Field?
Yeah, I don't have a great feel about this game one way or the other. Neither outcome would surprise me. What I'm leaning towards is because in the preseason when I picked every game on the schedule, I had Kentucky 5-0 at this point and then losing to LSU in terms of that letdown we were all talking about. So I'm probably still going to pick that just because if it ain't broke, don't fix it yet in terms of my preseason predictions. But to be honest, I don't feel great either way. I could see either outcome. You know, I think it's going to be a fairly low-scoring affair. I legitimately think Kentucky has a top, 20 kind of defense in the country, maybe a top 10 defense. It's just a matter of whether that offense can come out and put enough, points up. And whenever the game happens that the defense inevitably has an off night, how are they going to still win then? So, I don't feel great about it, but I think I am going to pick LSU.
Well, there we go. We shall see what happens. John Hale with the CJ. John, always appreciate the time.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you.
Indiana.
All right. We go to the Hoosiers. No Jack Grossman today. He's going to be very sad, but that's okay. Zach Osterman joins us at Zach Osterman. If you want to follow him there with the Indy Stars. Zach, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, how we doing?
Well, we're making it. As I've told every guest, we're matriculating through the week. We're making it. Cannot wait for a good weekend of college football. Indiana off this week, so they can't lose, so that's a good thing. Any sort of an update on Michael Penix? That shoulder, if he's injured, we know what that means for Indiana. Any update on the quarterback there in Bloomington?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like at least, I think week to week is what Tom Allen said, and he wouldn't go beyond that. Week to week is not day to day, though, if that
right.
makes any sense. Day to day kind of means, well, there could be a day when he shows up and all of a sudden it's better and the rest really starts to accumulate. Week to week is a little bit more like, hey, we don't think he's out for the season, but you might not expect to see him again for a little while. I would be surprised unless there is some, Adam Banks Mighty Ducks moment where he just walks in the locker room and says, coach, my shoulder's fine. I would be a little bit surprised if we see him, if we don't see a couple weeks at least of Jack Cuttle here. And obviously, this is a crucial stretch. I think Indiana's probably got to win two of these next three to really feel like, they can go crazy in November if they want, but I think you got to come out of October 4-4 to feel like you're really firmly in control of your destiny. Because those last
you know, those last four games at Michigan, then Rutgers in Minnesota, then at Purdue.
Winnable.
Yeah, as we saw, I mean, you know, the funny thing is, we said all the time before the season, Indiana could play well through its first five games and still be 2-3. I think the frustration has been more obviously the way that Indiana has gotten to 2-3. But the point is that this sort of basically this state of play at the bye week was always a possibility just because of how difficult the start was. The question is what Indiana does with it. And if we do see some of Jack Tuttle here, I think it's going to be in some games where I don't know if Indiana looks at him and says, hey, you got to go get me 350 yards and four scores. But they are going to look at Jack Tuttle and say, we need some good performances here if we're going to realize kind of our season-wide ambition.
Well, what kind of a quarterback is Jack Tuttle? I have no idea. I'm asking out of complete ignorance, Zach. Who the hell's Jack Tuttle? Who's Jack
he's
Tuttle?
Been with Indiana. No, he's been with Indiana for a couple of years now. He was a four-star prospect out of California whose dad, strangely enough, was a walk-on kicker at Indiana many years ago. He's, you know, I think he's a little bit kind of comparable to Peyton Ramsey in the sense that I don't think he's going to be able to stretch the field quite the same way that Michael Penix can. Probably a little bit more comfortable running the ball, and that's always been kind of a thing that Indiana's always sort of talked about. Well, Michael Penix has good athleticism and things, but it never really felt like running the ball was his strength or running the ball was something he really wanted to do consistently. I'm not saying Tuttle is a true dual threat, but I think he's just a little bit more comfortable kind of out in space, how to protect his body, you know, when to slide, how to slide, those kinds of things. I think the other thing worth pointing out, too, obviously he had a couple of games last year. He was the starter for the win at Wisconsin. He, you know, almost brought Indiana back in the bowl game last season, despite the fact that he was playing through a shoulder injury.
Okay, I remember Tuttle now. I'm remembering some Tuttle. Zach Osterman, okay, the cobwebs and the bourbon and everything else is starting to dissipate, if you will. The fog is clearing. I remember me some Jack Tuttle.
I think the big thing for Indiana is, because of Penix, is the thing they might draw the most confidence from is because of Penix's injury. You know, he was not really involved at different points in, let's say, spring practice, as an example. Jack Tuttle was basically Indiana's starting quarterback in any sort of team-wide setting for
a lot of the offseason,
simply because Penix couldn't be. And so you got a guy who has, A, been in the program now. This is his third season because he transferred in before the 2019 season. B, is very experienced in his own right. He was actually in the same quarterback class Michael Penix was in. They were both in the 2018 class. And C, has a lot of time on task in this offense with these players. You know, they can look at him and say, you know, he won us a game at Wisconsin last season. They can look at him and say he played through pain in the bowl game. And when he walks into a huddle, it's not foreign. All these guys know, well, yeah, we spent the whole offseason with Jack running our huddles. He's different to Michael Penix. There's no doubt about that. And again, there's some ways in which maybe his strengths are a little bit greater. Who knows? There are certainly some ways in which I don't think he can affect the game the same way as Penix can. But at very least, you're not necessarily, you know, kind of, you're not throwing like a redshirt freshman who's never taken college snaps out there or anything like that. I think Indiana will still have a real level of confidence in Jack Tuttle to be able to, especially if it's not Iowa on the road, you know, if it's not Penn State on a Saturday night, that kind of thing. I think Indiana will have a real level of confidence that Tuttle can make enough plays for them to have a chance to win if they can obviously help themselves elsewhere as well.
All right, last one for Zach Osterman. Our guy Jack Grossman was upset at Hoosier Hysteria because there was they didn't tell anybody they weren't going to scrimmage. So that's where he is in his life. Was there anything you took away from Hoosier Hysteria last weekend?
You know, for full disclosure, I wasn't there. I was actually at a funeral.
Now I feel bad.
Yeah, well, it was. It was kind of long delayed. Somebody that died and a friend of mine that died in 2020. But, you know, I mean, the scrimmage thing, I think, is basically the only really real value we derive out of these things anymore, frankly. I mean, they are really just sort of pep rallies, quite frankly, anymore. And so not having that probably did, you know, take a lot of the sort of, other than just the chance to get up and cheer if you're a fan, get back in Assembly Hall after 2 years away. Not having the scrimmage kind of, I think, probably robbed it of a lot of what made it interesting. I guess if you want to pick something out of it, it was interesting to me to see Parker Stewart on the winning three-point contest team. Purely because, Indiana – I don't think Indiana's got to be sort of bombs away from three this year, but they've got all the other ingredients to be good offensively. They've got, you know, a great big man. They've got depth in the post. They're very experienced. They've got enormous depth at point guard, like enormous depth at point guard. But if you can't hit threes, as we've seen so many times for Indiana in the last three or four years, and frankly anywhere where they struggled, that limits you in the modern game too much offensively. And you're going to be looking at a Parker Stewart, an Anthony Leal, a Miller Kopp, these kinds of guys to be able to change the game for you from behind the arc. So I think that provided that, you know, I think the reason they moved the scrimmage off the schedule was basically just that they felt like a lot of guys weren't going to be available for it. And it's also worth pointing out that, Hoosier Hysteria is also, you're required to use a practice day
those
things.
Yeah.
So I guarantee you they'd already practiced, and there's a chance that Indiana just said, we're not going to send our guys back out there. They need the recovery, whatever. As long as there weren't any long-term sort of health issues, then the one thing maybe you glean from it a little bit is the three-point shooting, because you're going to need guys like Parker Stewart, like I said, Miller Kopp, Anthony Leal, to be volume three-point shooters for you this year if this sort of pro-style offense, for lack of a better term, for Mike Woodson is going to work.
Zach, always appreciate the time. We'll talk next week. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, there we go. A little blitz on a Wednesday. Is that okay with you, or
it's
a Thursday?
With me. I like it. It is Thursday. I can't wait to see Miller Kopp shoot his first three.
Who can?
I mean, that's the intensity is palpable around here.
He's our baby.
He is.
Nick, Miller. Tell Rummage that he's our baby. Miller Kopp.
We have a baby on the take.
It's the Miller Kopp. Kopp. He's a white guy with the crew cut. Is that
from Northwestern?
From Northwestern. So he's Indiana basketball.
He is, absolutely.
Let's take a break. On the other end, have you heard the Ed Orgeron sound?
No,
Nick. Have you heard this? Nick hasn't heard only a little bit. Okay,
just a little bit.
So a little caller.
Okay,
into his radio program last night.
Prank on your boy O.
A little prank on Coach O, and then he fired back. So we'll do that.
Yes,
and we got you to 6 o'clock. Bosich in a half an hour. It's the take on a Thursday.
Miss anything from your favorite ESPN Louisville show? Check out the Podcast Center on the brand new ESPN Louisville smartphone app, or on iTunes and SoundCloud.
All right, guys, the Hightower Men's Clinic. We've been telling you about them for over a year now. If you're a guy out there and you're dealing with ED or PD, you don't have to. It's the Hightower Men's Clinic, 690-2800, or online, hightowermens.com. Check out the website or give them a call and find out more about their pulse wave therapy. No drugs, no needles, all natural, non-invasive, FDA approved. Get the life you deserve and do so with the Hightower Men's Clinic. Schedule that consultation. Look at patient reviews. Look at the process. It's all online at HightowerMens.com. 690-2800. It's the Hightower Men's Clinic, HightowerMens.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
When you became an Everton fan, how many years ago?
When I was in middle school, and okay. I picked that team because it had my favorite animal on their soccer jersey. My favorite animal was an elephant. I was like, that's so cool. I like elephants.
And James Strebel.
Do you choose your political side by your favorite animal as well?
No.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Hey, a big thank you on this Thursday. You know it's a Thursday. You know it's a Wing Zone Thursday. So a big thank you to Adam and his staff dropping off some catering today to the ESPN Louisville Studios. They got you covered tonight, this weekend, all the big football games. Try the ESPN Louisville special. 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for $9.39. Mention ESPN Louisville. This is good 7 days a week. You can order online, wingzone.com. And the two locations, Hikes Point, the other, Poplar Level Road. What, some co-eds outside? What's going on with you?
No, it's a beautiful day.
You're doing a little peek outside. Yeah, I didn't know what was going on.
No, there's nobody. You can see there's nobody there.
You are Urban Strebel?
No,
yeah, there is.
No.
They're right over there. What are you talking about? Right
say,
across the street.
Oh, I didn't see that. Where?
Across the street.
Oh,
Strebel?
I can't see. There's a big ESPN Louisville
he's
sign.
He's winking.
I'm not
again.
Winking right there.
He's winking again.
I'm not. There wasn't even a wedge left over from that Wing Zone.
In the refrigerator.
Oh, it's in the refrigerator. I didn't see that.
Where it will be until Monday when Mir Deer throws it away.
Yeah. I'll pick at it sporadically.
The new weekend guys aren't like the old weekend guys. The old weekend guys would crush the what's in the refrigerator.
The beardos left over or whatever.
None of the new weekend guys want anything to do with with the Wing Zone or the Witch or anything.
They're far
Barano.
Too svelte.
Yeah.
Like they care about their bodies way too much.
Nick Valvano.
You're not going to make it in this business.
That's a good
kid.
Point by you.
You're not going to make it caring about your body. Nick Valvano, because I tried to get Strebel to crush a couple donuts in the back.
Yes.
A little disappointed.
Nick Valvano goes, oh, yeah. Like he wanted to, but he was on a diet. That's how it made it
and
sound.
He's like, I would.
The old Nick Valvano would.
I should probably add that I've already had like three.
Okay.
And I was like,
yeah. And then he went into the refrigerator and pulled out a tray of pasta.
Yeah. Like,
because of course he did.
Yes.
Pasta melanzone. How you doing? There we go.
That's
what confused me because he's
dripping
like.
Dripping with cheese and it's just, and it's good, but
yeah,
I'm saying.
Alfredo sauce.
It's no different than one of these Long Johns.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
but see, there's peas in here, so it's disguised as healthy.
There's green.
There you go.
There's
mushrooms.
Peas in there?
Yeah. There's always
little peas.
It's okay.
I like to eat it without the peas.
Oh, do
you?
Yeah,
you can tell
like,
them to hold the peas.
No,
hold
Strebel,
the peas. I don't
Strebel's,
like the peas.
Strebel's one of these big guys that doesn't like just doesn't have time for a vegetable.
No.
He just doesn't have any time for a vegetable.
I like mushrooms okay. I could eat Italian food and mushrooms go together very well. I like the mushrooms.
Agreed.
Yes, they do. 437-9680. Okay, so the Ed Orgeron sound here, Nick.
Yes, I can't wait to hear this.
So Ed Orgeron, not all places do this, and I got to be honest, I don't even know what Kentucky and Louisville do anymore. Do they allow callers
Stoops,
to do their show?
Stoops and Cal both
Stoops
take callers.
Does Louisville, like, I'm asking because
I know Walls
I'm,
does
okay, because
run that
I'm,
show.
Because I'm ignorant here, because I don't know.
I know they used to, but I think they did away with
it. So really, I don't know what Louisville football and basketball do. It's right. What we've come down to. We know that the Walls does.
Right.
We know that Cal does. We know that Stoops does. So fair enough. Good enough. And I should know that, but I don't. Anyway, so LSU is allowing callers.
Right.
On the radio call-in show.
Okay, so Ed Orgeron does like a weekly
Ed Orgeron takes this call. And the guy calls in, I think, as J-Boy. Now, who is J-Boy?
I remember him.
Okay, there is a guy named J-Boy who has his own show called the J-Boy Show.
Right.
Not to be confused with John Boy.
Correct.
Who's also.
And so I don't know. Okay, so this guy.
He's an SEC guy, J-Boy.
He was an SEC, like, I don't know, assistant, grad assistant.
Right.
And so, but he must be well-funded because he popped up out of nowhere with really good equipment, and he popped up in Atlanta in the College Football Hall of Fame to do a show. And so he's picked up an hour. He does an hour a day on YouTube on Colin Cowherd's channel. He does, the podcast. He's with Colin Cowherd now. This guy came out of nowhere.
I mean,
but he gets massive guests on. He gets, you know, the Monday after, he'll get Lane Kiffin. He'll get Jimbo Fisher, and it's predominantly SEC.
Yeah.
Okay? So this LSU fan prank called in as J-Boy. So if you're wondering who that is, I need to give you a little bit of context.
Okay.
Okay?
He picked Kentucky to win, like, 9 or 10 games.
Well,
too.
He didn't. I mean,
Kentucky
football.
He did. Yeah, he was really high on the Cats.
Kentucky football, the Cats.
The Cats.
He was high on the Cats.
He was.
So take a listen.
Okay.
And, so here you go.
Right.
Some hijinks.
J-Boy right here in Baton Rouge. J-Boy, you're on with Coach O.
J-Boy.
Hey, Coach, how's it going?
All right, J-Boy.
Before I get my call about special teams, that's being embarrassing, Big Brother, real quick. My little sister is in attendance there tonight celebrating her 20th birthday.
All right, happy birthday.
You wish her a happy birthday?
Yeah, where you at? Happy 20th birthday. What's her name?
Bebe.
Bebe?
Little Bebe, that's what we call her.
All right, that sounds like a familiar name I know. What's up?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Bebe. Where you at?
All right. Now she is a little blonde-headed girl, so try not to have sex with her and put it on.
Oh! Come on, man.
Really?
Wow.
Oh,
man.
All right.
Let's talk about Kentucky, Coach. Mark Stoops.
Let me say something right now. You know, down the bayou, we got a nice little fishing hole for people like that.
Oh!
let's get back to
Whoa!
I mean, what was he saying? He was going to use him as bait and feed him to the gators?
I think so.
Is that what he means? Okay, I just want to make sure.
Did you just put a hit on him?
Or dispose of his body in the fishing hole and then after that, let the kid. There's so much to process there. Little baby?
Little baby?
Little baby. Her sister, little baby.
Okay, so it's calling in as J-Boy.
Oh, my God, that's great.
It's little baby. We're going to play it all again,
Nick. I have
Nick.
To hear it again.
It's little baby. It's him saying happy birthday to little baby.
Yeah, like, ooh.
It's relations with the blonde.
Who's
it's,
20.
And then it's the threat, and then it's the threat.
Put him in a fishing hole.
Like, you know what? I'm going to get an Orgeron. Here's how I'm going to get him.
Yeah.
You're not going to. I'm going to make fun of him for having relations with young blonde women. That'll get him.
That'll show him.
That'll get him.
Wow.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Nick, you're. Go to hell, Nick. Yeah. You're a terrible guy. You have relations with young blonde women. I mean,
yes.
I mean essentially,
attractive.
That's what.
Scorched him.
Yeah. That's what you,
take that.
You got him, caller.
Yeah.
You really crushed Ed Orgeron. All right, listen to it one more
time. Please. I got
to
hear it. Yeah.
But J-Boy right here in Baton Rouge. J-Boy, you're on with Coach O.
J-Boy?
J-Boy?
Hey, Coach, how's it going?
All right, J-Boy.
Before I get my call about special teams, that's being embarrassing, big brother, real quick. My little sister is in attendance there tonight celebrating her 20th birthday.
All right, happy birthday.
You wish her a happy birthday?
Bebe.
Hey, where you at? Happy 20th birthday. What's her name?
Bebe.
Bebe?
Little Bebe, that's what we call it.
All right, that sounds like a familiar name I know. Happy birthday, Bebe. Well, yeah. All
yeah,
right.
Now, she is a little blonde-headed girl, so, try not to have sex with her and put it on.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Really?
Come on, man.
All right.
Let's talk about Kentucky, Coach. Mark Stoops,
let me say something right now. You know, down in the bayou, we got a nice little fishing hole for people like that.
I love you. The giggle at
yeah.
The
clapping. Let's get back to football.
Yeah. The clapping. The clapping is the best.
That's what, like,
oh,
listening,
my God.
Two things I picked up there.
Little baby.
Baby, we call it Lil Baby. Oh, Lil Baby, that sounds a familiar name. We're Lil Baby.
Nick, say what you're going to say, and then I'm going to blow your mind, both of you, with what I'm going to say next.
Okay. All right, three things. One, the genuine, he definitely seems happy.
No, he's nice. Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
I love Coach O for that. Like, he's still, the beloved cookie monster he is, that even if he does have relations with little blonde people, consenting adults, whatever. But the quickness of the guy to hang up. There's no 20-second delay there.
The producer, bang, done.
Sex,
right.
Boom.
Yeah.
Had it been any one of the 680 producers, that would have gone on at least until another 20 seconds before we caught on to
right.
drop it.
Well, what's going on here? Yeah.
So kudos on whatever intern or whatever that was running that show. Good for him. And the third part, at the very end, right when he says watering, fishing hole.
There's
two eerie claps and cheers.
Yeah, the claps are great.
Knowing, rueful cheering. And I'm like, those people have killed somebody.
Yeah.
They know them.
To a gator.
They know the bayou fishing holes where you hide things. I mean, that's
the bayou.
That's what they're talking about.
Terrifying.
So I don't know how we want to play this. I want to play one little part again here, maybe from the beginning, but I want you to listen for something.
Okay.
When the guy, we'll play it again one more time, but then Nick, I'm going to need you to find something on the fly, and then we'll get to Bozich.
Okay.
If you listen to this, when Orgeron realizes what's going on, he goes, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, like,
hold on, slow down.
Something
here.
Like that.
Yeah.
He sounds like Darren Rodgers. When Darren Rodgers did the Riders Up, and Billy Reid goes,
Stormy Daniels!
Yes! And Darren Rodgers goes, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's what Ed Orgeron sounds like. And that's the first thing I thought of. So
really?
We have Nick doing, Nick is tired and tattered. And
he's going to pass out on the board at some point. Yeah.
He's eating linguine. He's going to pass out.
Yeah.
Me and him might do the Lady and the Tramp noodles.
No.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do later on. You can do whatever the hell you want.
Okay, let's go. All right.
You can do whatever
you
want.
Can't be worse than Taylor twerking last night.
Oh, did you see that?
I did. I heard it. I heard when it was happening.
Taylor Lynch twerking last night was...
It's a little much. It's a little much. It's a little more Taylor than I bargained for.
He's got moves.
Well,
the cherry on that Sunday. He did all that. And left two focus cans in there for Maven.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
He banged two focuses during that show?
That's an odd way to say
it. Well, yeah, like,
all the verbiage you could have used.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, drank, like...
Yeah, we know what you mean. For a second, you scared me. I didn't know where you were going with that.
It's a lot of caffeine. That's all I'm trying to say. A lot of caffeine.
You don't worry. You bang focuses and then crush Bush Light. What are you worried about his body? I don't know.
He's got a good fit body. He does.
I mean, you don't need to worry about his body.
No one wants to see
me let's play the Orgeron thing again, and then we'll give Nick time to find
the
Darren Rodgers.
Do you want the whole thing, or do you want me to, like,
Just give me the whole thing. I pretty much have the isolated
part.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, it's whatever.
Either way.
Yeah, whatever's easiest. Right,
here we go.
She has a little blonde-headed girl, so, try not to have sex with her and put it on... Come on, man.
Right there.
Come on, man.
Right there. Now, do you have the Stormy Daniels yet?
One second.
When he finds that, we'll put him together.
And I'm
telling you, Ed Orgeron and Darren Rodgers from Churchill Downs sound very similar at this moment where they're let down.
Right.
Okay? At this moment where Ed Orgeron, an embattled coach in the Bayou, is being a good guy.
He's being nice.
For a second.
Happy birthday, Bay.
He's been doped. He's saying happy birthday to Lil Bay.
Yeah.
And then you also have Darren Rodgers, who is announcing on Diener's show who the riders up is.
The celebrity doing riders up.
Billy Reed, full of mucus and derby, just barrels in with the porn star's name. So listen to, let's go. You want to do O first here? Here's Orgeron. Here's Orgeron first. Go ahead.
Come on, man.
Right there.
Come on,
man. All right, let's hear Darren Rodgers.
No, come on, man.
Give me the whole Darren Rodgers.
I gotta hear Billy Reed, please.
Yeah, give me the whole thing.
Derby Day Riders Up is still to be announced, but on
Stormy Daniels.
No, come on, man.
Right there.
No, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Right there. That's radio.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Billy Reed made Darren Rodgers and Coach O have something in common.
He did.
He bridged that gap between the bluegrass and the bayou.
How about that?
Thank you, Billy Reed.
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah. Rodgers was so upset.
No, come on, man.
He was so excited to tell people who's doing Riders Up. And Billy Reed
busts in.
Stormy Daniels.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Now she is a little blonde-headed girl. So, try not to have sex with her and put it on.
I mean, put it on what? I mean,
Nick's so right about that. Man. That guy cutting the collar off so quick. He's so
right about that. Like, oh, that's one hot material
like,
right there.
If I knew someone was going to do that to Bobby Petrino back in the day, I'd pay the board op. I know it's an iHeart. Like, the guy would be like, I have $200. And they're like, how did you get that? It's like Sweeney from the other station gave me. I pay him off.
Just to let it go.
It's like when Louisville got, when Lonnie Galloway got the Wake Forest playbook.
Oh, yeah.
From the jackass radio guy. Yes. It would be exactly that. Yeah, I would just like be open. I'm like, I paid the board op $200.
Yeah, I got that.
Bobby Petrino be prank called and not cut it off.
Man.
Because that guy's the hero.
He is.
Nick's totally right there.
I mean, he dove on that grenade. He's totally like an outfielder that robbed it's still a single.
Robbed a home run over the wall.
100% he did.
Yeah. I mean, got that ball in. That's like a Cespedes throw, man. Held him to the
top. No one knows. That guy's been out of baseball for 2 years.
Yeah, man. I know.
I know who that is. Streeple's got no idea. The majority of our audience has no idea. It's a guy that the Mets paid way too much money to play three games for him and got $100 million.
Yeah, pulled his leg fighting like a warthog. Was that
was that the guy he played for the Dodgers?
He broke his ankle fighting a boar.
Fighting a boar?
Yeah. At a family barbecue.
Why in the hell was he fighting a boar?
That's what you do.
That's what you do, I guess. Yeah. You fight a boar.
That's what you do.
Then you kill the boar.
You kill the boar, you eat the boar.
That's a warrior thing.
That's a warrior thing.
That's right. That is a warrior thing.
All right, let's take a break. 437-9680. Rick Bozich, WDRB. He joins us next.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.